there, and they had 8 people in the restaurant. 2 cooks, 1 by the register, and the rest of them were waitresses. And just about 5 people there drinking coffee. The coffee was 10 cents a cup. But these, most of the 8 people that were working there, I bet you were earning $1.50 at least an hour, straight salary. And over an hour period of time, they have the 3 or 4 or 5 cups of coffee only brought in 40 cents. But the people that together working there have eaten away maybe $15 worth in that 1 hour. And this goes on. Why does it go on like that? Because a political structure does not allow certain ones to be fired. Because nobody wants to get the rep. Once a certain person is threatened to be terminated, the whole delegation goes over there and say, you know, we don't want it. This is our money. This is our restaurant. And it's made so that we could have employment there. So it goes on. At the end of the year, you record that it loses $50,000 in the hold. So you take it out of the tribal treasury.
You know, well, I've been there, and you know, I know how come they're losing money, because I've been there myself. But you know, maybe this is the type of stuff, you know, that we want to hear. You know, why not economic development? You know, we talk about this stuff around school and all this. You know, and you give the answer. Well, it's a political structure. You know, it's all politics, and that's like when they're losing money. You know, you ask how come we don't trust our tribal governments. Well, you know, there's another reason.
There you go.
We don't want you guys to play politics. We want you to get something done around here. You know. You're going to go up there and pat each other's backs and,
That politics is politics.
And, you know, let's not do that. You know, we're dealing with people's lives here, and there's people starving, the guys need jobs, you know. And, you know, if that's what you're going to do, let's get somebody else in there.
So that's the way it...
you know, it might be political realities, but, you know, what can you do? You sit back and live with it? Well, you know, you've got to try to find something better than that.
Now, if that same restaurant, there's another restaurant right across it, on the other side, run by a white person, Bonds and Bond Cafe, and he's doing a profitable business. Sometimes you only see one person taking care of waiting on people, cash register.
Yeah, I know, and that's why when I'm in Shiprock, I go over there too. Exactly what you're saying.
So there, it makes sense economically how you break even. So these are the kind of realities that exist. That's why I'm saying that, that when I look at tribal government, I look at them no different than city government. They relax. They need to be relaxed and do all kinds of things at their own pace and within their own political structure, because they are getting tax money and... these are just the wastes. In other words, you and I actually just willed it away, and they could just take that money and dump it somewhere, and it's not going to affect you and I's life. It may affect the roads construction here and there and other things. But so far as you and I are concerned, we just give them some more the next year. And so they can afford to work on the basis of the Shiprock restaurant. And they're not in the profit-making thing. They're just there for services and conveniences.
Well, and, Mark, you're touching on a very basic thing that I can't understand. Is it possible under the Navajo political and legal structure for just a bunch of private persons, Navajos, not the tribal government, but just private individual people to set up a business on the reservation and not only deal with the Navajo tribe or the Navajo people themselves, but more or less find contracts or job offers in the outside world, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, all around. You've been talking, and the discussion is so Navajo tribe only lives in that and that and that. And I agree with you that it's politics because it's a government. But you can avoid all this political talk by simply implementing a program whereby a private citizen on a Navajo reservation, you know, whatever you call it, you know, a person can just apply for a loan from a Navajo tribe, go from the federal government or from the state government, and go into business himself. Now, if he wants to fire somebody, it's economically feasible for him to do so. The tribe and the voting bloc, voting mass, could care less. It's just economically feasible for him to do that. Now, is it possible for this thing
Yes, it is possible to do it, but there are certain things that limit this today. One of the limiting factors is that no one wants to give a large amount of loan to an individual Navajo or groups of Navajos.
Not even the tribe?
Not even the tribe.
Why?
Not even BIA. It's, again, it's the guideline and the rules and the regulation that they set. You got to have this know-how, you got to have this, you got to have that, and not the guideline.
Assuming you have that know-how.
Well,
assuming you meet the regulation.
Well, yeah, I imagine you can. You can get it and go into business. And there are some, like I said, who have gone into filling station businesses and other kinds of businesses. But they're very limited. And the second limiting factor is the leasing of the land. This takes a heck of a long time. This, the Bureau gets into the act on this. And the major factor has always been a loan. It's very difficult to get a loan, say, over $25,000. But most reservation areas where you want to establish a business requires, you know, if any decent thing, you know, something like this, is going to cost you maybe $150,000 or $200,000.
Do they have to get a loan from the Bureau?
Either the Bureau, the SBA, or EDA, or one of those sources. But again, EDA wants the tribe to back it up. And sometimes the tribe doesn't want it back.
A lot of that is political realities, too. I mean, you know, if you put some kind of business in there, many times you'd be taking, you know, possibly taking some business away from some business one of the tribal council members has going.
Who has contributed some money for that guy's last election.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you know, like it was coming to Daniel, you put a shopping center in there, and Raymond Nakai wants first crack the shopping centers, you know, because, you know, he's got them so far. And,
right.
I mean, you know, it's like the political realities you were talking about a while ago, you know, entered in here too, I mean.
Very much so. That's one of the things I want to, you know, I'd like to touch on so that you become aware of it.
Yeah, well, I think I'm already aware of it.
And the need here is then that I certainly think that the future for young people such as yourselves to provide this kind of an economic development is great and is needed. You got to do it outside the structure of the tribal government, and let the tribal government do those things which belong to government, and let you then develop the private sector.
But the thing is, though, ideally, I mean, you know, I don't mean to imply anything, but what I was talking about basically was the type of economic system that Soviet Russia has right now. That government runs the whole show there.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys make livings, and, you know, they've done pretty well for themselves, and, you know, it's a model to follow.
Yeah, but they can run on things. Because you can't hold yourself.
Yeah.
You can do that.
That's smart. Don't let the tribal government do that.
Well, that again, and when, earlier I said the tribe is going to have to determine what kind of an economic an economy they should have. There's many kinds of economy that you could have. One is what I'm talking about, the other is what you said, and there's a few more in between. And I think this is the decision that the tribe is going to have to make, and I think a lot depends on you too, is that what kind of research you make and the kind of input you can give to the people, because I'm sure the people at the grassroots have certain ideas. And so then once you decide on the kind of economy you're going to have, then it's good to work toward that. But if you can just let the time of the age and the wave and tide of the age move you wherever you want to go and end up with some kind of an economy which you never asked for, but finally end up in it, and that's all, that sometime can happen. On the other hand, you could also direct it toward a certain desired economy.
Well, talking about economics, I'm asking this question. Can you foresee in the near future, you know, I don't know how many years we're going to talk about, but sometime when the policy of the Navajo tribe will be to get away from the assignment system of land, the allotment system of land, private ownership? Do you see that in the near future, you know, in your lifetime or mine or anybody's? Is it even under consideration? Has anybody thought of it, or is it just too far off?
I think it's too far off, at least with the present structure. Now, if for some reason the structure of the tribal government, meaning the